Please turn with me this morning to the Gospel of Matthew. We'll be looking at chapter 12, verses 15 through 21. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 12, verses 15 through 21. So Jesus has just healed a man on the Sabbath. The Pharisees, seeing it, as we read in verse 14, went out and conspired against him how to destroy him. So here we pick up our reading this morning. Jesus, aware of this, withdrew from there, and many followed him, and he healed them all and ordered them not to make him known. This was to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah. Behold my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved and with whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he will proclaim justice to the Gentiles. He will not quarrel or cry out or cry aloud, nor will anyone hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not quench, until he brings justice to victory. And in his name, the Gentiles will hope. Let us once again bow in prayer and seek the Lord's blessing. Our gracious and almighty Heavenly Father, we thank you for your great work through Jesus Christ. We thank you for these words before us that show us a gentle and lowly Savior. And Lord, as we come before you this morning, we pray that by your Spirit you would open up our hearts and minds to comprehend your word this morning. And by your Spirit, we pray you will inscribe your truth upon our hearts. And we do pray also, Lord, that by your Spirit you would bless my mind and my mouth that I may think and speak clearly this morning. It is in the name of Jesus that we do pray. Amen. A few weeks ago, we looked at the final verses of chapter 11 from the Gospel of Matthew. Verses 28 through 30, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. After Matthew records this saying of Jesus, he then enters into chapter 12. And as we looked at last week, we see Jesus kind of exhibiting the rest that he gives, having to be on the Sabbath day, that day of rest that was given, and what the Pharisees asked Jesus concerning the disciples' actions, then also the miracle that Jesus performed on the Sabbath day, showing what was right and good to do on his day, this day of rest. We see in these verses another aspect of what Jesus said he would give, or another aspect of those verses in the end of chapter 11. We've seen the rest that Jesus gives, but we also, in these verses, see the gentle and lowly nature and character of our Lord and Savior during his earthly ministry, exhibited here before us as a fulfillment of prophecy spoken by the prophet Isaiah. So as we look at these verses, the call to us is it's really a reminder for us, one that we need to continually remind ourselves each day is to submit ourselves to this gentle and lowly Jesus. And also remember that he is the judge of all the earth. So we're to submit ourselves to this gentle and lowly Jesus who will judge all the earth. We'll be looking at it in 3 points this morning. First of all, despite his good works, Jesus faces hostility. Secondly, the humility of Jesus was to fulfill prophecy. And thirdly, yet let us not forget the final portion of this prophecy. So first of all, despite his good works, Jesus faces hostility. We see this in verses 15 through 16. Jesus, aware of this, withdrew from there, and many followed him, and he healed them all and ordered them not to make him known. begin by Jesus aware of this. What is he aware of? Well, he's aware of verse 14. The fact that despite what Jesus had just done and the good work of mercy and healing that he had just displayed before the congregation there in the synagogue, the Pharisees' response was to go out and to conspire how they might destroy him, how they might kill him. Because he was displaying such a clear exhibition of his authority, was challenging their own. We must see in his actions here, Jesus did not seek out needless confrontation. In his earthly ministry, he went about the work that God gave him to do. Now, when the time came for it, he did in fact stand and confront the wickedness and the evil that was before him. You know, chiefly in my mind is when he enters the temple, and it's supposed to be a house of prayer, but it's being used as a marketplace. And he goes and he overturns the tables and he drives the merchants out. But Jesus didn't go out seeking needless confrontation. When he was aware of the Pharisees' intentions here, he withdrew and he went away. But yet many followed him. Probably those from that had been following him all along, the crowds, and also those there at the synagogue in which he had just healed a man's hand very miraculously. As he goes away and he slips away, these crowds follow him. And we see, even in the face of hostility, that he continues in his work of ministry. His heart continues to go out to those who are in need and hurting, and he continues to pour out his abundant grace and mercy. He heals those who came and followed him. He heals them all, Matthew says. But then, strangely, he orders them not to make him known. This is not the first time Jesus has done this, performing a great miracle, and yet telling them, don't make me known, don't proclaim what I have just done. He said this to the blind and the mute man not long ago. And what did they do? But they immediately went out and proclaimed what Jesus had done. But what we see here in these opening verses is just the remarkable, gentle, and lowly character of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in his earthly ministry. He was quiet. He was probably unassuming. He didn't seek out needless confrontation. He did face it boldly when it came. But he was merciful. He was gentle. And he was lowly. I personally marvel at the amount of self-control that our Savior exhibits in these instances. The very Creator of heaven and earth, who's righteous and holy, could have done what he did or could have done whatever he wanted to do with the Pharisees and their opposition. He easily overpowered them. We see his humble submission to the will of his Father. So we see here in these verses, as Matthew uses this scene then to introduce another fulfillment of prophecy that Jesus had or fulfilled. That this scripture prophesied of a gentle and lowly Messiah that would come. That leads us to our second point in verses 17 through 20. This was to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah. Behold, my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved with whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him and he will proclaim justice to the Gentiles. He will not quarrel or cry aloud, nor will anyone hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not quench. Well, first of all, in verse 18, we see here almost a parallel of what was spoken as Jesus was baptized, as he came out of the water. God saying through the prophet Isaiah, behold, my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved with whom my soul is well pleased. I'll put my spirit upon him and he will proclaim justice to the Gentiles. So here Matthew is making a clear connection to Jesus being that chosen servant that was prophesied by Isaiah. one who was loved of God. God's soul rejoiced in him and was well pleased in him. But then he also, we see in this prophecy, what the character of this Messiah was to be. It says in verse 19, he will not quarrel or cry aloud, nor will anyone hear his voice in the streets. This is that clear connection to what he was saying to the crowd after he had just healed them. He says to them, do not make known what I have done. Do not make me known. He is not one that would be out in the streets crying aloud. He would not stand quarreling with those in the streets of his own design. He would be quiet. He would be lowly. A humble servant. He would also be gentle. In verse 20, a bruised reed he will not break, a smoldering wick he will not quench. The idea here, a reed, could have been used as a measuring stick. And one that was bruised was really quite useless. He would have just thrown it out and gotten rid of it. But not this Messiah. He doesn't break a bruised reed. Or a smoldering wick, a picture of one that of a lamp whose wick had really become useless. It was just sitting there smoldering and not able to give the light that it was meant to give. Yet the Messiah in his gentleness will not extinguish such a wick. The great comfort in these verses, brothers and sisters, is that we can take from it is that the Lord Jesus, our God, our Savior, will not reject any of his children for their lack of faith, for their lack of spiritual maturity. He will not discard or throw away a bruised reed, a child who is hurting in a time of weakness and suffering. He will not throw away or extinguish a smoldering wick, one whose faith seems to be waning and is just a vapor. He will hold on to and cling to his people. A bruised reed he will in fact strengthen and build up. A smoldering wick he will in his time actually fan into a roaring flame. He is a gentle Savior. One way maybe to illustrate this, as pastors, I'm sure Don Piper used his own family from time to time in illustrations. I've used my family as well. Aaron nods his head. But my family, we have three children right now by the Lord's grace. Ezra is 4.5, Nerea is 2.5, and Silas is about 6 months old. Now, there are various levels of maturity. Ezra could do a lot more than even Nuri can. He just has more capabilities right now. He's a little bit more mature. Silas, we just lay down in the middle of the floor, and he laughs and he smiles, and that's all he does, which is great. But does that fact, because Silas is so far less mature than our son Ezra, does that change the fact that both of them are, in fact, our children? No, it just means we need to take special care with the one that is less mature. We can give a little bit more freedom and responsibility to the one that is mature. It's the same way in the household of God, brothers and sisters. A child of weak faith is still a child of God. No less so than a child with strong faith. And God cares for each according to his gentle and lowly character that we see exhibited in these verses that the Messiah would display. Not breaking a bruised reed, not quenching a smoldering wick, but taking those who are low and hurting and building them up by his grace. So our call here is to submit to this gentle and lowly Jesus, this gentle and lowly prophesied Messiah, one who will care and nurture us and watch over us with such tender mercy and grace. And although this prophecy speaks of a gentle and lowly Messiah, one that was completely contrary to what was expected in Jesus' day, even some of his disciples were waiting. Are you going to restore the kingdom now, Jesus? They're waiting for that moment when he would take up his arms and go blazing into battle and giving the victory to his people in a physical sense. They're looking for that conquering warrior judge who is also prophesied of. You know, the prophecy Isaiah speaks of this gentle and this lowly Messiah that would come and would care tenderly for his people. I believe it also speaks of that great and mighty judge who was to come. And we see that in the closing of verse 20. As we move into our third point, looking at the close of verse 20 and 21. Until he brings justice to victory, and in his name the Gentiles will hope. This word, until, it marks the end of something, a completion of something. You know, I know there's a big game today that our city is involved in. You know, the Denver Broncos and the Seattle Seahawks have been working all season. They've been preparing until this day. Their work for the season will come to a close in some way, in some fashion. What had been done, what had been worked on, is coming to completion. Until. The prophecy in Isaiah says that he will not quarrel or cry aloud, nor will anyone hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, a smoldering wick he will not quench. Until. Until he brings justice to victory. This simple phrase is picturing for us that great and glorious day to come when Christ will return and lead. He will bring forth justice to complete and total victory. You see, in his earthly ministry, and even as he deals with us now, he is gentle, he is lowly. And our world wants to keep him that way. Our world wants him to stay that way. But we are told clearly that when he comes again, our Lord and Savior will not be a gentle and lowly Lamb of God as he was here in his earthly ministry. What we lose sight of the fact is that our Lord Jesus, when he comes again, will come as what the Jewish people expected the Messiah to be when he came initially. A powerful, a mighty, a terrifying, victorious judge of all the earth. No longer the meek and mild Jesus, but the Lion of the tribe of Judah, who will march forward victoriously, bringing and leading justice to victory, finally and completely conquering all of our sin and wickedness, finally and completely destroying all of his enemies. And as he does this, he will bring forth justice to victory. He will bring righteousness, justice, to complete and total victory, so it will completely cover all of his creation. He will come as the mighty and fearsome judge of all the earth. But yet, brothers and sisters, those who believe in him, those bruised reeds, those smoldering wicks that we all are at some point or stage in our life, We will not fear that great judge that comes. We will have no reason to terror as he marches forward in victory. And instead, we'll cry out, "Hallelujah! Praise God!" We will bask in his glory and rejoice at his complete and total victory. So as we submit to this gentle and lowly Jesus, this gentle and lowly Jesus who was prophesied of, who would not quarrel, who would not break a bruised reed, who would not quench a smoldering wick, let us also submit to the victorious judge of all the earth that is prophesied in this passage as well. And that last line in verse 21 is a glorious message. "And the Gentiles will hope in his name." We sit here today, brothers and sisters in Christ, as a fulfillment of that sentence. We being Gentiles have come and we hope in his glorious name because of the great work that he has done for us. So as we consider these verses, as we see here displayed the gentle and lowly Messiah, the gentle and lowly Savior, let us submit to him all the more. Let us put our trust and our hope in him, as he cares for us tenderly with great care and mercy. And let us look forward and rejoice in that day when he is glorified, when he completely, when he leads justice to victory completely and totally over all the earth. And so submit each day anew to this gentle, this lowly Jesus, who will one day come as a victorious and mighty judge of all the earth. Amen. Our gracious Father, we do, Lord, thank you for the grace and the mercy that we have been shown in Christ. We thank you, Lord, that the Messiah, your beloved servant, is lowly and gentle. He does not break a bruised reed. He does not quench or extinguish a smoldering wick. But in his time, he strengthens us. He builds us up. He fans into flame the waning, smoldering embers of our faith. He preserves us to the end. That end which he will come not as a lowly and gentle Messiah, but as the victorious King, the judge of all the earth. We thank you, Lord, that we have no need to fear that day, for we are in Christ. If there is any here, Lord, who is not in you, who has not bowed their knee yet to Jesus, who has a reason to fear that terrible day to come, we pray, Lord, that today would be the day of their salvation, that today they would submit to the lowly and gentle Messiah. Lord, we pray that you would uphold us now and give us strength as we go out and face our daily battles. Uphold us and give us the victory that you have won in each and every battle that we face. And those that are lowly, Lord, build them up. Strengthen those whose faith is smoldering, and fan them into flame. In the name of Jesus, we do pray. Amen.